Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Jump Time Apple Podcast. What would have been round 12, 2020. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is seems to be running through a banner with a kid on each arm. It's Adam Rosenbach. Adam, Michael, what's going on, mate?
Mate, it's exciting times. Have you forgotten? This is the 250th Junk Time episode.
No way. No way.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. I thought some cannons and firecrackers were going to go off them, but they didn't. Anyway, congratulations, buddy. We got there.
We got there. Now, a little question. So how have you got people in your house holding up the banner? Okay. They've probably spent a lot of time. I presume there might be a lot of spelling mistakes on that banner.
Well, the banner is 4.5 metres wide, so we can all be the right distance apart from each other. I ran through the dead middle. They were 1.5 metres away from me and 3 metres from each other.
You can
social
the distance, yeah, sure. And now
absolutely, very smart.
I suppose the question is, the kids there, nephew,
mate, niece? Don't worry about where the kids came from, mate. They're kids. They're not crying anymore. I gave them some Finergan before and... they are dazed, and they are very happy to be here.
Sure, but it's very dark and dingy where you are. I feel like there might be a bunker or a basement of some type. Where
congratulations on our 250th episode, Michael. Mate, they said we'd never make it.
Yeah, 250. So I think we started around 2014.
Yes.
Oh, just the Hawks were flying, and the Blues were the Blues, weren't they? But what we're going to do for this episode, we're going to pop a highlights version of our first episode on the end of the episode. So stick around for those people, because I don't think you can find it on the internet anymore unless you've got the dark web.
That's right. And if you listen to that episode, your voice sounds like really high. So it's only 6 years ago today. Well, what's your highlight? Over the journey, Michael, let's look back fondly. I'll start. Probably some of my highlights. There are a few episodes where you were in the USA, and so I had to get people in Melbourne to help me out and do the show. They were great.
We have actually done the show quite a bit overseas. Like we did one. I was in London, and you were in Melbourne. And then we've done most of the last 3 years while we've been apart from Melbourne and Sydney.
We've made it work. I believe there were occasional times when you may have been in Boston.
That's right. Yeah, I think I did a show when I was in fucking Boston. I went to the fucking Cheers bar. And that's right, because that would have been about a week before that. I would have been in New York on Job Watch. And so I was trying to find out the cafe where Job Watson was serving coffee. And I think if memory serves me correctly, I found it. And I went to it, if I remember correctly, twice, but it was an office building on a weekend. And therefore,
yes, because it was in the financial district, wasn't it?
I'm not totally sure, but it was you couldn't get into the actual building because it was a weekend unless you had a pass. But if it was like a Monday to Friday, you could have wandered in and got a coffee from Job. So, and we had leads. We had people like sending this around.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they were just trying to fuck with my holiday. But yeah, wow. What a journey.
So it has been a fantastic journey. Do you have a highlight, Michael? Any? I mean, my favourite, I think. Who's your favourite guest? Come on.
When you say favourite guest... draft expert Craig Coombs, of course.
Oh, of course, yes. That has been an absolutely fascinating journey with Coombs.
Yes, I reckon we've done about five of them now with Craig.
Yeah,
and every year, like, people love it. And we and surprisingly, Adam, like you and I pick about 8 or 9 out of the top 10 of the AFL draft, which is
we're fucking all over.
I mean, we've done a great job.
I mean, Terry Wallace, if you want to step down as the list manager, mate,
and the thing I like about it is that we've done it with very little research. Somehow we just kind of do it off the top of our head. I mean, Craig's there in the background, but we do it pretty much off the top of our head.
We make him sound good.
So we're going to put up the first episode, highlights of the first episode at the end of the show, so stick around. And one thing I noticed when I've listened back to it is that I throw to Adam and I say, please welcome the lovely Adam Rosenbarks, which I haven't listened to episode two, but I would presume.
It went downhill fast.
That is the first time you've ever been referred to as the lovely. I mean, yes. From now on, I want to call you the very leggy Adam Rosenbarks.
Thank you. I can take that from Rhonda Birchmore. I reckon she's losing height over the years, so I am very deserving of it. And hey, we want to say, we want to put out the extra episode at the end of this one just to say thanks, because we love what you guys do and we love doing it for you. And we've loved everyone who's jumped on board our Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/junktimeAFLpod, thank you to everyone who's jumped on board and helped us out in these dark times, Michael, when, you know, we're both I have six different names getting job seeker and job keeper at the moment. And it's hard work, but it's worth it.
And we also want to plug the merch. So where can we get the stubby holders, Adam?
Stubby holders are at junktime.bigcartel.com. And, of course, we are out of doing very wells, but there are still others available. So, you know, you don't want to get freezing cold hands in the winter. And also, I got myself a book out. So don't forget the old Paris and Other Disappointments, which is available online and also as an audio book. So you can get that at Audible, I guess.
And also, if you want to email us at junktimeaflpod@gmail.com, I can just do a quick little photocopy for you and just ship it off.
The PDF.
Yeah, a little cheaper. Yeah, just a little side hustle I've got during these tough times.
I like it. Now, we are only days away from round two. How exciting.
Yeah, Thursday night. So Collingwood Richmond going to kick it off the MCG. I reckon probably crowd of about, people are hungry for football, so probably 90, 95 support staff and include the teams.
Well, how many can they are limited to exactly how many people can be there from each team. So is it 40 from each team total?
I had a feeling it was 100 from the round one times for each. But I may be talking shit there. But some reason, the number 100 is in my head.
Yeah, okay.
Because you think about it, you got, 22 players, probably three emergencies, then support staff.
And where do the emergencies go? Because usually they're up in the stands and you see shots of them, you know, sitting uncomfortably in suits in the freezing cold.
But remember in round one that there was a couple of debutants and they had their family in a box?
Yes, so, that is right.
Yeah, so it may have been 50, it may have been 100. I feel like 50 might be too small, because then you also have officials, you have
physios.
You know, umpires, you know, probably ambulance staff and the like. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was 100 each. So it's going to be a crackerjack at the MCG.
It's going to be exciting. But at least, you know, pubs are open. You can go get yourself a meal, watch part of the game, and then move on, because the next people need to come into the pub to take your seat.
What's your pub action been like? Have you been to one?
Yes, I went to the Empress Hotel in North Fitzroy on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And it was good. They did a good job, you know. And they're lucky because they've got three separate areas, so they can have 20 in each. So it felt fairly solid, you know.
And are they the kind of thing where they go, hey, are they policing it? Are they going, you're being too close? Are you, you know, you need to sit there, don't talk to that person. Hey, don't look at them. Don't talk to them. Don't talk to Adam.
There was a lot. Well,
don't talk to that weird guy in the corner.
Well, it actually looked like that, because I was there by myself, so I had a table like in the corner away from everyone, so I looked like the naughty child there. But I didn't see anyone going from one table to another, so they didn't seem to have to police it. But I reckon they'd be up there, you know, they got tasers behind the bar in case that, you know, sort of shit eventuates.
Been kicking off at Adelaide training, mate.
I love a good pun. I love a good intra-club punch-on.
They are fun, aren't they? They are fun.
They really are. They really turn, and you kind of... Because they're so surprising. Because in your head, you think, these are the best mates. You're best mates with everyone at the club. But, you know, if you're up against someone who's trying to take your position and things get feisty... So what happened this afternoon, this only just happened at Adelaide training today, was Kyle Hardigan and Billy Frampton came to blows, and they... I can't tell which one's which, so I don't know who's who, but fuck, they threw some haymakers in there.
They did go for it, yeah. So I couldn't really pinpoint the actual problem at the time, but I do love a training punch on. And
well, I think Hardigan said to Frampton, frog cakes are better than fruit chops. And yeah, he's just gone, you fucking kidding me? And he said, mate, the footbridge is fucking no good. And yeah, then it was on.
Yeah, I mean, Frampton has been pretty mouthy about the tram to Glenelg. Okay,
yes.
To be honest.
Yeah.
And Hardigan's not having any of that. He's like, fuck.
Yeah, you're going to pay a price for that.
He said, fuck, it's a palindrome, okay? Give it at that, yeah. At least, okay?
And they just went.
So one of my favourite ones would have been, was it Cloak and Levi a few years ago?
No, Cameron Cloak and Satanta helping.
Ah, Satanta, yes, that's all right.
Yeah, so Cameron Cloak was on his knees. Satanta punched him in the head. Cloak dropped to the ground and then he kicked him up the ass.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. But I imagine these things are actually quite common, but we don't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I reckon it would happen a lot because you just get frustrated. And I think at training, probably one of the things that I reckon would happen is people going too far.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. I reckon you're mucking around and then...
pumping him up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then someone kind of takes a tackle and drives you into the ground, and you kind of go,
yeah.
Wait a second, like we're training, like we're not doing hardcore right now. Now, if it was like, you know, if the coach said go all out, then you know, all on.
Michael, there's a phrase there. If the coach said bring your mouth guards, then you know it's fucking on. You're fucking in. But if you're just standing there, and the coach hasn't said, even if you got it in, but he hasn't said bring your mouth guards. Then it's not, you're not allowed to, you know, punch on like that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, what was it a few weeks ago on, I think it was the Fox Footy podcast, I think Jordan Lewis was talking about how he got on a punch on with Richie Vandenberg. And Richie Vandenberg, in his first year, like in, you know,
yeah,
pre-season.
I did read that.
Yeah, and Richie was the captain at the time. But they kind of, I suppose, they're big enough and ugly enough to get over it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Did you ever get any kind of strife with your teammates? I've never done that.
No, I don't reckon I did. Like you'd be pissed off at people, but I never remember punch-ons. But I did read that Richie Vandenberg, Jordan Lewis one, and Vandenberg said that he respected Jordan Lewis for doing that.
Yeah, sure.
Because he's like, oh, he's a first-year player, but he stood up for himself.
Yeah.
And therefore, I won't bash him again because he can come back at me twice as hard.
The players are moving into their hubs now, man.
It's happening now, isn't it? So West Coast and so this happened the other day. West Coast and Freo were flying to the Gold Coast, and they had a truck. I think it was a truck driving across country with all their surfboards and golf clubs.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, so they just loaded up the truck, and they're not meant to be playing golf and surfing, but if the restrictions kind of ease a bit further on over the next few weeks, they get to use them. So
yeah.
I think there was someone said. It was like a two trailer truck, if that makes sense. I kind of don't really. I may not surprise you, Adam. I'm not totally familiar with the world of the truckie. Although they do love some of my merchandise.
What you're describing is a B double, mate.
So the first truck carriage was full of Nat Fife stuff, and then the rest was
sunglasses.
headphones,
hairbands. Yeah, that sort of shit. All the stuff that he needs for Brand Fife.
You know, singlets, you know, elastic bands for the hair.
Yeah, all that sort of shit. The things that he needs and different types of mirrored sunnies for different situations. Like he may end up going to a funeral up there. He needs funeral sunnies.
Yeah, you know, he needs formal outfit.
Yeah, that's right. You never know
respects.
Where Net 5's going to be.
So they talk about there's some of the stuff they want. Okay, so they're going into hotels. And I actually looked up the resort where they're going to be. I'm not sure which teams are going to be at it, but it looked fine. Like it looked nice. But again, it was like a hotel. So there are
any reviews?
I didn't get on Yelp, actually. That's actually really fun. But dude, like what if we do get on Yelp and look up that place, that resort, and see if any players have got on there and just be like, oh, you know, no drink cards, bullshit.
Oh, yeah, it's bullshit. Oh, they said double bed. It's two single beds with a double sheet over it.
Oh, I've got to share it with a ruckman. It's fucking bullshit. and so they talk about the player requests, which I actually kind of think of, I don't know, I think they're fair enough, but they talk about they want toasted sandwich makers.
Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't love a toasty?
They want PlayStations, but also I kind of think, well, why does the AFL have to provide that when you can just bring your own? And they also talk about that when they do go away on interstate trips, they often do bring their own.
Yeah, to get the AFL, the AFL is already hemorrhaging money, right? There's been no crowds. They had to remortgage Marvel Stadium and they're going, oh, you know what? Let's just fucking load up on PlayStations for the players.
This is funny when you, when you put it like that. Like they had to remortgage a fucking stadium. You know, like, you know, people might get in financial tough and they I've got to remortgage the house, you know, and that might be, you know, that would put me 150 in the hole. They they remortgaged a fucking stadium for $500 million.
Gil went into his super for the players. That's a lot of money that he's tapped into there, you know. This has been tough times for the AFL, Michael. I don't think people realise it.
That's fucking all pair money right there, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
There are privileged children in South Australia who don't have any French young women looking after them right now. Okay, think about that. That's how real the AFL is right now. Okay, that's where at crisis point.
They don't know what bonjour means.
So they want... I think the main thing, actually, a lot of it seems to be... Well, apart from, like, they want pool tables, they want table tennis tables.
Yeah.
I think mainly the main thing, actually, is actually food-based by the fact they don't have kitchens in the rooms. I checked that out when I looked at the resort rooms. And so they actually want to kind of be able to cook their own food, which I actually...
Which I think is totally understandable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the players for the preparation, there would be players still who, you know, weigh the meat and weigh the vegetables and, you know, want to have the correct portions.
Because as a football player, you can't have a club sandwich three times a day.
Yeah, and you can't walk up to a breakfast buffet and have hash browns and bacon and eggs and all that kind of stuff. So I think they've got to try and work out a way that they can actually try and cook their own food and have a bit of normality.
Yeah, and because you can't really have... Who's ever put fresh food, like fresh vegetables into a hotel fridge?
Yes.
That's never been done.
Yes. I've never walked into a hotel buffet. I was about to say Hawthorne buffet. I've never walked into a hotel buffet and gone, I'm going to feel better after this. Max Gorn, man. Been talking about Max Gorn. Dennis Pagan.
It's about time. Yeah, it's about time he was kicked. I'm with Pago on this. Get rid of Max Gorn. You get a haircut like that, and that tells me you're heading down. You know which street he's heading down, Michael?
Oh, sheesh. It's not the one near Media Street, right?
It is Media Street.
Oh, shit. No way. Yeah. First year captain heading down Media Street already. So Dennis Pagan was on Footy Classified, I believe, and he said that if Max Gorn had shown up to the training with a haircut like that, he would put him on the bench. Now, I'm not sure if that means that he would just put him on the bench for the game or not pick him. So we need to get more clarification. I think we need to get Dennis Pagan on the phone now to clarify what he meant, okay?
Well, I reckon it would be a big, even bigger statement, and it would impact the club more if you chose him in the 22 and then never put him on the ground.
Yeah, gotcha. So, I mean, you might have seen the pictures of it. So,
and he goes, but I'm captain and I'm the second best ruckman in the country. He goes, mate, you got a fucking mohawk. What are you thinking, mate? You can't ruck with that. So you can't be captain with that. You go out there, toss the coin, you'll probably lose it because of the haircut.
So he has kind of like a, I suppose, a kind of mini blonde mohawk, would you call it that?
Yeah, yeah. Bleached mohawk, yeah.
Yeah, and got the big beard. But I wouldn't be surprised either if he shaves it off before the game coming up.
Oh, you don't think he's going to go into it?
I don't know. If I could get onto Sportsbet, JunkBet, actually.
Yep.
Get onto well, actually, I kind of own JunkBet, so... Well, I'll just pay myself out. I have a sneaking suspicion he's going to get rid of it before the actual... Because I reckon... I mean, because, you know, aren't there players running around with pink hair, blue hair? They've done a number on whatever.
What has this game become?
and I reckon they'll kind of get rid of it kind of when push comes to shove.
Well, here we go. This is what Pagan's justifying why he does what he does. He says, I was coached by a hard taskmaster. Mm. You weren't even allowed to have beards with Ron Barassi. What the fuck? The guy's had a shit mustache his whole career. That's fine. But you go the beard. All right, mate. You're showing no respect to your club. You're bum. What about Steve McCann? Did he play under Ron Barassi or was that a bit later?
I reckon that would have been a bit later, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I also, I do wonder about that. Like, have you ever seen somebody with a beard and gotten too freaked out? But when you see a dude with a mustache, you go, oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, like you're an undercover cop.
Pagan goes on, so he doesn't like the beards, which, you know, obviously Ron Barassi taught him that. But then Pagan says, when I see some of the players with buns on their heads, you shake your head and think, gee, what are we doing?
Yeah, but also, can we just go back in time as well to fucking Dennis Pagan's hair back when he was coaching North Melbourne? Like
the perm.
That fucking
the gentleman's perm.
Yeah, like it was a fucking horrific look. Horrific look. Yeah. And he could have tied it up into a little bun as well himself. Mm. I mean, maybe that's the mark of the man. He didn't. But you know, no one can look back at Dennis Pagan in 1993 and go, Ooh, I like that stylish look. Like you know, when you go into like a barber or a hairdresser's and they have like pictures of just hair, like people modeling. Like no one's ever gone into a barber or a hairdresser and gone like, oh fuck, give me that. Give me the Pagan.
Yeah, give me the Pagan, mate. I want Pagan's mullet, not Pagan's paddock.
Oh fuck, we should trademark that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Eddie stuff going on, man.
He's had a big week. You know what? Pretty much since football stopped, he has just picked. He's been in fight after fight. It's weekly, isn't it? You go, oh, who's Eddie Bloom with now?
Yeah, I'm sorry for the people that have been listening to the show for the last 7 years. I just want to say when we say Eddie, we mean Eddie McGuire. just to clear up any concern. So
in case you missed the first 249 episodes, Eddie McGuire.
So he's cracked it at Port Adelaide again about the prison bar jumpers.
Fucking Port Adelaide, mate. Who do they think they are? They wear a jumper for 135 years, and they think that they're allowed to wear that again, do they?
I really can't get my head around it, like the story of like when they can wear it, when they can't wear it.
They want to wear it for every showdown now. So now when they want to wear it, they have to get permission from Eddie.
Oh, God.
And I think that's almost like in the, when they came into the competition, they had it pretty much written in the contract that you cannot wear the black and white stripes because that is Collingwood, right? And you know how Eddie's always going, we are black and white. We've never changed black and white. We've never done it. Even though in the early 90s they wore a jumper that had a magpie on the front as a part of their logo, they've never ever, deferred from that.
That's the big thing. He keeps on talking about how like we don't change our jumper, but you look on in the history of it, and they've got multitude. Yeah, like there many many times when they have had different jumper. Now they haven't varied from the black and white like other teams have. Maybe kind of gone into other added a few colours or two, but they definitely have had fucking animated Collingwood magpies on the top of the on front of the jumper.
Absolutely, and it used to be white on black, and then it was black on white, wasn't it? Like they have made variations to it. It hasn't been the same since they were, brought into the competition.
And also, like the idea that you kind of talk about. Well, we talk about they had to get permission from Eddie, and this is how forward thinking he is, right? Mm. That when Port came into the competition, he wasn't even president of Collingwood yet. Fucking forward thinking that contract was.
Yeah, he knew. He knew ahead. He went into that meeting and just sat there with that whoever the Collingwood president was then, and said, "Oh mate, don't let him at the prison bars." Because you know what? When I see a showdown, I often think, "Why are Collingwood playing in a showdown?"
Yeah.
what are they doing out there? How come? Why is Justin Westhoff? When did he get transferred to Collingwood?
Like, it's just been a lot of trades over this break. I didn't know that they had a mini draft during the break between round one and two.
And they traded almost 22 players. Ken Hinckley is now coaching Collingwood. When did Bucks get the arse? Fucking big break. I just don't understand it. I'm on Eddie's side here. I'm sorry, Port Adelaide. You've got 150 years of history and the most successful professional sporting team in the history of the football competition. But you've got to defer to Collingwood, man, as we all do.
Can you tell me, do you care about jumpers much? Like, I mean, if the Blues walk out in a kind of, blue and grey striped top tomorrow, like, would that bother you? Like, I really don't care about what they wear.
I mean, Carlton's had a couple of shockers over the last few years, but not overly. It depends on how much it had changed. I kind of like Carlton's alternative strip now, which is the white with the blue insignia.
Yeah.
So it's a negative of the other one. The other ones they've kind of tried. That one was like a wolf grey a couple of years ago. That was just shit.
Yeah, gotcha.
But apart from that, not really. But what about you? You guys have had some fucking stinkers in recent time.
I mean, we had that Power Ranger one or whatever. I don't know what that was really, but it's like. Yeah. But when I look at it, also I go like, isn't really just a way to kind of make more money, like sell more jumpers. So buy an alternative and also like I reckon there are probably jumpers out there designed specifically to target children. So they go, yeah.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, okay.
I reckon there are some out there that do that. They kind of make it a bit more fancy, yeah, like, and colourful. And you go, like, you know.
When Essendon had that Dora the Explorer jumper for a few years.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But so the kids would get on board.
Really not too fussed. Like, I mean, I think, remember the kerfuffle when Richmond had to wear their clash jumper for the grand final?
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, what are you going to take, the premiership or the jumper?
Yeah, I get it. But also, you also have the worst uniform in the competition.
But that's another thing too. The people go brown and gold or whatever. And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't care what it looks like. Like, I don't look at jumpers as fashion, you know? Like, if I rocked up to...
Yeah, that's because you can't, because your jumper is awful. But you know what the lucky thing is here, Michael, is it's not just Australians who are going to get to hear Eddie Maguire anymore. The American market, here we go. Like, if you're... we've got a few American listeners... get set to hear the great Eddie. You know what I think is great? So Eddie is going to be on Sirius XM, which is a satellite radio. Is that how it operates over in the States?
Yep.
And what I love is Eddie's gone, I don't feel like I'm busy enough at the moment.
Nah, I haven't got much on at the minute.
Nah, I'm only doing Brekkie Radio. Yeah. I do a little show called Millionaire. Yep. I am on Fox Footy all weekend. I call all the games on the Friday nights and part of the coverage all weekend. And you know what? My family said to me, they said, Dad, why don't you find a hobby?
You know what I find as well. And I mean, let's not forget like the boards and, you know, that he's on and the like. But you know what I find in life? If you take on 12 jobs, that means you do everyone well. You know, you do every single one of them to the foremost of your ability. And yeah, you don't maybe every now and then just fucking crack and have a fucking meltdown.
No, because you're so focused on what you're doing that you put all it, you know, everything into it.
So he's going to do a weekly show on Sirius XM Thursday night for the remainder of the AFL season.
Okay.
Fuck, man. I mean, I get it. Like, good on you. I mean, it's going to be called Aussie Football Rules America. And Thursday night, so that would be Thursday night American time, I suppose. So they can talk about the Thursday night games, I suppose, as they can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which the American people, I don't know if you've noticed, paid close attention. I've been watching a lot of CNN. And aside from, talking about the race riots and the looting and stuff, the one thing, the sort of the third thing that falls in line is the people chanting, we need an AFL radio show.
Yeah, that's satellite the vibe radio. I was getting from the news media as well.
Yeah, and people power has spoken. I mean, that's how they got this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for a lot of the kind of Trump and Biden stuff has kind of fallen by the wayside because they...
Absolutely.
I mean, they'll be showing protests at the White House and then they'll go, we've got breaking news.
Yeah.
Eddie Maguire is hosting a a radio show on Sirius. But, you know, I'm Adam, I'm not being bitter, okay? I'm not being angry, even.
You never are. I've never heard you angry.
But the great thing about... Sirius XM, yeah.
Yep.
Is that it is a different category under the FCC. So if you're on, normal radio, you're not allowed to say the words fuck and shit. And
which is why Howard Stern is on Sirius.
Yes. And that is why I'm a little bit annoyed that we didn't get the tap on the shoulder by the fact that, I mean... Satellite radio is fucking our ballpark, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the dark web of radio, and it is built for us. If and any two people belong on that network, yeah.
Who better to bring Australian rules football to the heartland of America than the people who sell a stubby holder that says it's Gatorade Bukkake time? And, I mean, how many times...
What better way to learn?
How many times have you heard the word Bukkake on normal radio in Australia? Like, I mean... Very rarely, but only in context. And
yeah, only when I'd call up SEN.
But we could go loose. We could get real loose with our own American show. So if there might be a bit of money left over if they want to kind of throw us a bone. We can do it.
Well, if they want to hear more about Australian rules footy, we're the men.
We'll do a companion
250
show.
250 shows deep, mate. Eddie hasn't done 250 shows on Sirius.
I'll tell you about another show Eddie's going to do.
Oh, here we go. What else?
So it's pay-per-view.
Okay, good.
A lot of Eddie stuff this week. So I think if you throw down about $15, you get to... I don't actually know if it's like a Zoom chat or some kind of, online link.
So who's he talking to? Pick me up.
He's talking to Michael Jordan's agent.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know what? When I was watching The Whole Last Dance, I kept thinking, when are they getting to the episode about the agent?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We didn't hear too much from him. I'm not totally sure of his name. It's coming up now.
I wanted to hear from him. I wanted to go, did he get 4% cut? Was he 5%? Mm. How did he, you know, did he get Michael extra holidays during the year? What were the sponsorship deals like? No one gives a fuck about the three-peat or the last fucking dance or the fact that he, you know, Jordan went and played baseball for a while and then came back. The fucking people want to know who his agent was. Who else has he got on his books? We don't even know that.
For sure, for sure. I mean, the doco kind of showed Steve Kerr, Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson, Dennis Rodman, of course. But the whole time I was there going, fuck, you know, ep one, no agent. Ep two, no agent. I got to,
when's,
you know,
it coming?
I'm like, when's the episode devoted to the agent? You know, because I know when I get to meet a famous person or someone I admire and respect, and I shake their hand and I kind of look them in the eye and I say, where's your agent?
Absolutely.
That's the person. You know, you want to see the person who's standing 5 meters behind the talented person, kind of looking at their phone and feeling weird about talking to the talented person in case they say, no, we don't want to work with you anymore. And they go, but no, you did everything great. You were great. You were great tonight. You were great. You're fantastic. You're fantastic.
I've often, I've got hold of Dusty and said, Dusty, can you hook me up with a meeting with Ralph Carr? Can I talk to Ralph Carr? And, you know, oftentimes I've never gotten to speak to Ralph Carr and I've wanted to. I want to know from the great man.
So it's $14.95.
It's pretty cheap.
At you don't need that anymore, 23, so the word 23, .com.au. So I think they're kind of like a events kind of company.
Okay.
And Eddie's a director on the thing, but again, obviously, there's no such thing as conflict of interest.
Never heard of it.
And so you can hear from David Falk. Wait a second, why am I doing a fucking plug for it?
Exactly.
I don't give a shit about this shit.
So I actually thought The Last Dance referred to his last contract. So that's why I was misled completely by ESPN.
Fuck, man. Ah, man. $15 to do like an interview. Like, it's the kind of thing you should kind of just film and then put on YouTube or something. Like, it's like an interesting kind of chat. But
oh, no, but you got to monetize it, mate, because there'd be billions of people around the world, as we will be, who want to tune in to hear from Michael Jordan's manager. Footy's back.
Yeah, yeah. And they
you don't sound excited.
No. I'm just thinking. I'm just looking at the idea that they're going to spend 80 hours disinfecting the ground.
Yeah.
Before and after. So I think that
before
might be.
Before and after.
I feel like that might be 40 before and 40 after by the fact there might be tight turnaround.
Yeah. So they spend the 2 days. That can't be right because there's not enough hours. If how many games? So say in the Gold Coast, will there be one game at Metricon and one game at the Gabba each weekend? Is that it? Is there ever doubleheaders at a ground?
I mean,
it has to be in Melbourne.
I'll tell you what that is. That's a fucking question without notice.
Fuck. Sorry.
No, I think
250 episodes in and I haven't learned to give you notice.
I feel like in this fixture they don't have doubleheaders yet, but I might be totally wrong with that.
Yep.
But they're going to wipe down. But at the same time, I mean, you know, cleaning would be a tough job. But also at the same time, like by the fact there's no foot traffic and, you know, if you've got to clean, you know, toilet, shower.
Oh, yeah, because I was thinking you've got to clean all the seats and stuff.
Yeah,
but you don't have to touch the ground.
Yeah, so it's actually not a bad job. I might put my hand up for it, you know, head up.
Mate, you go in, you've fucking bit of spray and wipe on the benches, in the coach's box, in the club rooms, bit of Glen 20.
And
that's
I
it.
Reckon. Maybe
burn a scented candle.
Maybe I'm an idiot with this one as well, but I reckon it might be worthwhile to say to the players, hey, we'll do the meeting, but then we don't need to shower here, you know? Like, head home and just shower at home, you know? So we kind of don't need to kind of get too fussy about cleaning things as well.
But I would say you'd want to, because you've been tackled by the opposition, so you would actually want to leave the ground as clean as possible, would you not?
That's actually a good question as well. Yeah, fuck.
And while you're showering, when you come out, stay all sudsy. Wipe a few things down before you dry yourself off. Let the players, because you know Trent Cotchin, he cleans the rooms before he leaves. You
That's
know, he
right.
Picks up all the bottles.
That's a really
stuff.
Good point. So then, okay, if he's taking a bit of a pay cut, why don't they forego the cleaning contract and just get Cotch to go around the MCG every week and do the cleaning?
Yeah, or you nominate one player from each team to stick around. All right, so whoever plays the worst, as deemed by the coaches.
That's a really good point, yeah.
You go, mate. You had a shocker. Looks like you stick around for another 15 hours. Give this place a bit of spit and pop. Well, not don't spit, just polish. give it a polish, mate. Clean it up.
And they're talking a little bit about the we'll wrap it up shortly, folks, but they're talking a little about what they're going to do with the innovations for the coverage, and I think they're still a bit undecided about what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And also it's a bit undecided by the fact that different grounds, I reckon, would have different capabilities, you know, what can go around the boundary or how they can showcase the ground. I found it interesting, and I'd recommend the Junk Timers out there to watch the some highlights of the Bundesliga, the Germany.
How did they go?
So I only watched one clip, but they had... the non-camera side, they had, for that particular team, they had that covered in like a big tarp of the team's name, or maybe the team's motto. But they were feeding in crowd noise, like the chanting and the... And when they kick a goal, they'd go mental. And then when they kind of have a good shot, they'd go, you know, well done. Ooh. You know, yeah, yeah.
Because
I don't know if you watched the NRL over the last week, but they... It felt like there was someone like at a mixing desk, kind of.
Yeah, just pushing it up and pulling it down.
It did, yeah. And yeah. It felt like they needed Murray Trigoning. And I didn't.
hey, nurse.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
That'd be great sound effects.
Folks are dumb where I come from. Yeah. And if you are old enough to know that reference, then you are fucking old. And so they did, but on the German coverage, and I'm not sure if it's pumped into the stadium. I can't actually work that out.
Going to ask you that about the NRL because it comes through on the coverage, but I do wonder whether they can hear that at the ground.
Yeah, so. And the German coverage, the crowd was much louder, like way louder, and so therefore I go, would the players be annoyed by that? Would they be like, well, we can't, you know, how much can we hear?
Yeah, we want to be able to hear. At least let us hear it. Yeah.
So I reckon the AFL coverage, I reckon they're going to put crowd noise over it, I reckon.
But St Kilda are going to have something down at the Dramana Drive-In, so you can go down to the drive-ins and watch the game down there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So they did that for the Brisbane Broncos the last two rounds to, you know, sit in your car and watch them get smashed 59-0. So if you're a Saints fan, you can go down to the Dramana Drive-Ins and sit in the car and, you know, watch the Saints.
So does that mean that maybe we're not too far away from, say, you know, putting a big screen at, you know, Punt Rod Oval and then Richmond people can come in and sit 2 metres apart and watch it there?
I guess once they allow biggish crowds around, because we're still limited to 50 or 100, aren't we?
Of course, yeah, sorry.
But if they're in their cars, they kind of keep them there.
Yeah, sorry, that was stupid.
Mate, that was stupidity without notice.
We're going to do a football in real life, but we want to give a big pump up to MND. So they had the big freeze today.
Yeah.
Players went down the slides.
Yeah, and that was a little bit different. They had to do it around the club, but mate, you know what they did, Michael? They got around it. They got around Neil Danaher. They got around Freeze MND. You can get your beanies from Coles or Bunnings. If you want to grab one, I grab one on Saturday, my little Freeze MND 6 beanie. And I've got to say... Now I do have a big noggin, but they're made for people with tiny heads, I tell you.
Oh really? Yeah. Wow.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can't wear it for very long because it's I'll black out.
And also shout out to the clubs for putting that kind of stuff together by the fact that you know they're not fucking TV production houses, you know.
No, that's right.
They've you know got their cameras and the like, but they have to kind of you know work out angles and time. There's you know limited time, obviously, with you know.
Yeah.
People around.
Yeah, footballers have no spare time on their hands. So good on them. So yeah, get around. What's the website again, Michael?
Fightmnd.org.au.
Yeah.
So we got one here from James, Football in Real Life. Back during my uni days, I was a local fresh food boy working at one of the Woolies down near the Cattery, Cadinia Park.
There you go.
While I was operating the checkouts, I was lucky enough to serve some big names like Gary Ablett Jr. and some big boys like William Brownless. Huh.
Oh, there you go. Hope. You never saw his wallet.
I am an Essendon supporter, and I still love seeing... I mean, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? When Big Billy comes into the shop and you kind of... Because, I mean, I find sometimes, like, I take the card out and might have to put the wallet on the counter if I've got my hands full. And fuck, you know, fucking Big Billy...
People looking at it.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. I want to touch that. I want to lay my hands on that. I'm an Essendon supporter, but I still love seeing the Geelong boys come in. And one of my favourite footballers in real life was Stevie J. Stevie J would come in almost weekly just to buy a block of plain Cadbury chocolate, but not those 180 gram blocks. These big chompers needed the huge 350 gram ones.
Okay, that's a lot of chocolate.
So 180 gram, would that be like the small strip of like 5 or 6 pieces? Would that be right?
No, I reckon the 180 is a bigger one than that. But the 350, the 350 one, I reckon, is the one they might call a family pack.
Yeah, okay, cool, yeah.
You know, it's like a size of a small laptop. iPad.
Anyway, I started off by saying hi with a bit of small talk about how's training. Should I bring you into my Supercoach team? You know, that actually brings an interesting question. Do you think players would get offended if you told them they weren't in your Supercoach team?
I reckon, depending on their position. Like if you said to, say, Jacob Wiedering, you're not in my Supercoach team, he'd be like, yeah, I'm a backman, I'm not going to score that highly. But if you made a choice to, say, Max Gawn and said, nah, you didn't make the cut, he'd be like, but I'm one of the best in the comp, mate. Yeah, you're just trying to save money, you dirty dog.
Yeah, but why would Dennis Bagan be having a crack at him like that? He already knows he's on the bench.
Yeah, that's true.
As he came through checkout, which was awesome. But then he would stop coming through my checkout and would go through self-serve. I quickly became aware of this, so if I saw him come into the store, I'd find a moment to quietly get off my register and go loiter around the self-serve area where he'd have to talk to me. Now, this happened towards the end of the 2015 season. There was talk about my beloved Essendon boys being suspended. Oh, I mean, lucky that never happened. Phew. Sheesh. Yeah. Also, rumours that Stevie J was staying at Geelong. Wasn't staying
at Geelong. Yeah.
So the convos eventually turned into me begging him to go to Essendon. Now, he would laugh it off at first, but I was quite serious about it.
I think it's fucking... It sounds like harassment.
But it's also great recruiting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So to remind Stevie J one more time, I was able to get into the Geelong change rooms for their last games of the season, as one of my friend's brother played for them for a time. I'm going to say that was Gavin Exel. as I was in the change room, Stevie J saw me and was like, "What the hell are you doing here?" We had a quick laugh, but I could tell he was dying on the inside, as this kid from Woolies wouldn't leave him alone.
But could you imagine? He'd be like, hey, where do I know that face from? And he's like, fuck, the fucking Woolies guy. No wonder he left Geelong.
Oh, fuck, yeah. With a bit of chocolate. Kind of lure, entice him. Get a family boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't see Stevie after that because he fucked off to the Giants, even though his old teammate Chappie was playing for the Dons. And both Kelly and Stokes decided to go too. Actually, that's actually a good point. Like, he would have had a few mates there, yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe Chappie was one of his. Didn't they box on at training?
Oh, hopefully, but, you know, mates are mates.
True.
But he did go to play. Well, he didn't play in the 2016 prelim. He was suspended for that, but he did play in the 2017. Yep. That was his final game. We probably forgot about all the times I asked him to wear the red and black, because I'm sure he would have loved to join his Geelong...
Teammates.
Yeah, sorry, I had to scroll down. Oh, well, I'm up in Brisbane now, so I'll have to make a trip down to the Goldie to harass more football players to join us. And haha. Hey, by the way, James, fucking do that, because, like, it's been not light on for footballers in real life, but we've been isolated, and so people haven't seen people around as much. So,
yeah.
I feel like, James, I believe in you. And with with four teams at the Goldie, they're going to have to be a little bit out and about.
Yeah, and also your level of harassment tells us that you will make that trip down the coast.
Go for your life, man. Like, yeah. We need the content.
Yeah. Thank you, John. James, we appreciate it. I'll tell you what else we appreciate. We appreciate everyone who subscribes to our Patreon. Jump on board, patreon.com/junktimeAFLpod. Thanks, Junk Timers.
And we are going to finish off now with the highlights of our first episode from round one of 2014. We are junktimealphapod@gmail.com. We are junktimealphapod at Facebook and Twitter, on Hinge, Snapchat, TikTok, and the Gram. Gonna hit the road. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Hello and welcome to the first ever edition of the Junk Time AFL podcast. My name is Michael Chamberlain. Joining me here in Wayne Jackson Studios is a man who has repeatedly been told by the AFL to stop associating with bikies. It is the lovely Adam Rosenbach.
Thank you, mate. They're not bikies. They're my physicians.
And your neck tat's looking fantastic.
Well, thank you. Let's just get into into details here, we've already got our premier. I mean, we don't have to play out the rest of the season. GWS.
Yeah.
Over the top of the Swans, kicking, what was it, 6 goals in the last quarter to 0.
Yeah.
In Sydney, the Battle of the Bridge, it's over.
Yeah, it was enormous, wasn't it? It was so much fun. They're going 25-0 this year.
Yeah, absolutely. They will not lose. I mean, sure, they were $11 outsiders for that particular game.
Yeah.
But now that they've shown that they can kick goals with ease.
In the rain.
I mean, imagine them in the dry.
Yeah.
That would have been a 12-goal last quarter, easily.
I'm completely on board. I'm orange and charcoal through and through.
Yeah, I'm singing the theme song. We are the Giants, yeah, the greatest giant of all.
It actually felt like an actual game down at Homebush for the first time,
yep,
in that there was actually people there, and you got the feeling they weren't just people the AFL had thrown tickets at when,
yeah,
they were just having a look at the old Olympic sites. So a whole bunch of Romanian tourists in there going, this is where we won gold in the weightlifting.
Which is interesting that they did the weightlifting outdoors, but good on them. You know, I like that they did that. But it was fantastic because there was actual genuine excitement,
yep,
when not only they were keeping up, but then they got in front and people were going crazy for it, and it was,
yeah,
great.
Dude. You know what they are? They've done so many different things. I've been reading a little bit about the GWS because they are going to be premiers for 2014, 15, 16.
Yep.
And just the household names of
just roll off the tongue, don't they?
There's that kid.
You've got a Treloar in there. Definitely a Treloar.
Scully.
Uh huh.
Because I remember the Melbourne.
Is that his dad?
Patton and Cameron.
Yep.
Which, dude, sounds imposing.
Yep, the general.
And then after that...
And Cameron's his surname, isn't it?
I think.
Yeah.
Cameron Patton's a good player.
Yeah. I do like him.
There's no reason why they shouldn't be good, considering they have 27 first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
That is an entire list made up of people.
Of cream of the crop.
Of the best in the country.
Yeah, and Josh Hunt.
The only people... That's very nice. You know, the only team I can think of who had that many high draft picks was Carlton during the Dennis Pagan era.
Yeah. Well, Mick McGowan, we got him early.
Yep.
He was good. Mick Martin.
Legend, Daniel Harford.
Yep. We got a couple of Hawthorn legends. Was it Glenn Bowyer?
Yeah, you got him. Yep.
Brett Johnson, I believe.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, you missed out on Ricky Nixon and Justin Crawford, but you definitely got the big guns.
What did we think of the GWS v the Swans? There was a wild storm during the first quarter,
yep,
and the players were taken into the rooms for an extended break at the quarter time break, so they weren't exposed to the inclement weather. What did you think of that?
Soft.
Yeah, I agree.
Soft.
You know what I love, though? It's like, all right, get everyone else indoors. Leave the fans out there.
Yeah.
That's fine. We can afford, because you actually can't afford to lose GWS supporters.
Yeah.
They've got to put them in cotton wool. You can't have them going down. You lose two of them, you lost half your cheer squad.
There should be a bunker underneath the ground for the I don't know if the last couple of years, if you have been to a GWS match, but their cheer squad. And when it is outside Melbourne, you,
yes,
understand in Sydney, and, yeah, also you go, well, it's, you know, people do find it tricky to get to Homebush, so you can't expect everybody to,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
All three members of the cheer squad to be,
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But when they're in Melbourne, I mean...
It's incredible, isn't it?
Just when GWS would kick a goal and the... The apathy.
Well, you can actually hear, because I saw them in their first year, and you can hear people in the crowd mumbling that,
yeah,
they got a goal.
Yeah.
You just, generally, at a football game, you're not supposed to hear mumbling.
Yeah.
You know, the only time you kind of hear that kind of silence is during the minute silence, you know, on Anzac Day. But you're not supposed to hear that kind of thing. So I just think protect their supporters a little bit more.
Yeah.
And don't you want... I want the players. I mean, they're talking about, you know, they're protecting them from concussions. It's getting soft. If you are struck by lightning, I'm sure there's some sort of Lars surgery that is apt for that,
mm-hmm,
that will get you back out on the field slightly charred within weeks.
Well, why not bring a rule into it? Say if you get hit by lightning, it's 9 points. It's a super goal.
I'd love that. But you know who I really feel sorry for during the lightning storm? I know the players are exposed, but I feel sorry for the goal umpires. You're standing next to two 18-metre metal,
yep,
poles, just waiting, just thinking, oh, so this is how Benjamin Franklin worked it out.
He
was a goal umpire.
Hey, yeah, we should probably explain a little bit about ourselves, just to give people a background of what we are as human beings.
Mm.
I'm a huge Hawthorn fan. I am a cocky, Hawthorn fan?
You all are. You don't have to put cocky when you say Hawthorn fan now. It's just assumed that you all. You've won two flags in 5 years, and God, you don't hear the end of it.
Although we're about to have our GWS years of domination.
Yep, good.
So, good. You know, but also, you're a Carlton fan.
Was.
You were?
Was, yeah. I went to the game last night, so that ended.
Okay,
our premiership window apparently was open.
Did you throw your membership on the ground?
It was open. I'm too high up for that.
I've been to games with you, and you can get pretty foul-mouthed, you and your mates. Were you there with a few people or by yourself?
No, I was there with a few people, but I noticed that there was a young girl sitting near me, so I just laid into her. You know,
I have noticed at games that you don't let the fact that there are small children sitting around you to stop you from quite vocally dropping the C-bomb.
C-bomb? I've never said the C-bomb in a game of football.
Don't lie to the podcast people. You get pretty foul mouth. So I imagine, what level were you at last night?
More just disbelief. It's round one, you know. You're excited by round one, and then just for the team to come out and apparently we're not fit enough. That's what Mick Malthouse said. They weren't fit enough, and Port Adelaide were fit. And I just want to know, what the fuck were we doing in Arizona?
Yeah.
What are we doing there? Just going, checking out the sights of Arizona, maybe checking out some of their flora and fauna. Like, we know if we're in a trivia competition and anything Arizona-based comes up, Carlton will kick your ass. But as for walking up a mountain and getting fit out of that, we didn't do that.
That's really weird to say that in round one, that we're not fit enough.
Well, they say that the fitness base that you build into yourself, it doesn't come into effect till later in the season. You're able to run out games. So it's great. When we're 1-18,
yeah,
we are going to be running out those last four junk games.
Oh, dude, the rise from 18th to 16th in those final four rounds.
Yeah. We will drop a couple of draft picks like no other side can.
Dude, it's really weird. Well, Malthouse isn't actually... I don't know, man.
What don't you know, mate? He said we're in a premiership window.
Well,
so
that's the thing.
What are
that's
you
the
doubting?
Thing. Yeah, we're the second year into the Mick Malthouse revenge tour. This is pretty much... Basically, it's culminating to... His grand ambition is to win a premiership. He can get up on that stage, pick up the cup, and then say into the microphone in a loud, clear voice, "Go fuck yourself, Eddie Maguire." The thing about Travis Cloak's Instagram it's Travis Cloak... No, Travis32 Cloak, if you want to find it. So this is what we found. And, the dude's great. So this is Valentine's Day of this year.
Yep.
It's got a picture of a brand new Harley Davidson motorbike.
Oh.
It says, "Stuff flowers, chocolate, cards and all that rubbish when you can buy yourself a new Harley." Now, this thing I love about Trav, he loves a hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtag, happy Valentine's Day to me. Hashtag, single and saving money. Not really true. Hashtag, hog life. Hashtag, let's ride. Hashtag, beast. Hashtag, you hear me rolling.
Rolling or rolling?
Rolling, yeah. Aww. Which is actually one of the few words spelt correctly in that whole thing. Christmas time. Very special moment in the Cloak family.
What do you got, Cloaky?
You know, Cam gathers around with Trav and...
Jason
and David.
Yep.
And it says Christmas tree. Picture of a Christmas tree. "Is it too soon to have this up? Hashtag Christmas, best time of the year. Hashtag ho, ho, ho. Bang. Hashtag first Christmas tree in the new house. Hashtag big silver balls. Hashtag big kid at heart. Hashtag matching wrapping. Hashtag Santa sit on my lap." Yeah.
Wow.
What a way to celebrate the birth of your Lord and Saviour with a hashtag big silver balls.
Which he later on tried to kick through the door of his house and completely missed.
Yep, kicked into the neighbour's pool. Now, this is my favourite one.
Okay,
we'll finish off with this one. September 27 last year, so right about grand final time.
Yep.
There was a picture of a brand new car, or a car, out the front of what would be Travis's house.
Mm-hmm.
The front windscreen was broken, a driver's side window.
Oh, not the premiership window.
Nice. And it had said, "Great way to wake up this morning. Thought moving to Q would stop all this happening, but guess not. Hashtag..."
I love his hashtags. And can I guess?
Yeah, no, you'll never get it. Okay. Go for it.
Man. Hashtag... what would he write? Hashtag broken dreams?
Not quite. There's no hashtag Swanee, what'd you do that for? No, it was hashtag lowlife piece of shit.
Yep.
Hashtag enjoy your new shoes. Hashtag come knock on my door next time, I'll kick your head in. That was a tricky one to read because that's quite a long hashtag.
Yeah, it's a big hashtag.
And this is my favourite one.
Did you click on that hashtag just to see if that other people have...
Oh, that's been trending all year. Yeah. It's my favourite one to round off. Mm. And it said, hashtag no Melbourne show for me today. Oh, Trav, I love you. I love your Instagram. So, everybody, get onto Trav32Cloak Instagram.
Yep, do it. And so if you are at the Melbourne show next year or this year and you hear a Harley Davidson approaching, you know Travis Cloak is on his way.
Oh, dude, he's gonna get on the Gravitron. Poor Trav. But oh. I don't see why he couldn't have gone to... There are trains, there are trams. Go to... A broken window shouldn't stop a man from going to the show. What kind of world do we live in where a broken window stops a man from going to the Royal Show and buying himself a fucking little Collingwood show bag?
A sad one. A very sad one, mate. Hashtag sad world.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.